The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And we're back. It seems like we were just here. It is Sunday again. You are joining We the People Radio with your hosts, Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and our show producer and musical savant, Bob Martin. We are chatting and streaming worldwide at wethepeopleradio.us. And if you're just tuning in for the first time, this show is all about fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution, and everything that falls under that umbrella, which is pretty much everything. Call in number 530-605-4567.
Except don't call.
Don't call. We're pre-recorded.
Cancel that.
Habits die hard. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook and like us, because that's the way to key in to find out what we're doing next week. Hey, and before we...
WeThePeopleRadio.us has all that fun information.
Yes, and before we get off track here, and I forget, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Worldwide Geoengineering March being held this Sunday, August 25th.
Like in an hour, 2 hours.
Yeah.
At 11 o'clock.
Today. Sort of today. It's actually Thursday to us, Sunday to you. Anyway, if you're in the Reading area...
Just in case you were confused.
If you're in the Reading area,
no, Joanne,
this will be held at the Reading City Hall, 11 a.m. Bring chairs, bring signs, there'll be speakers. And if you don't know what geoengineering is, look up.
You should show up to the Reading City Hall at 11 o'clock and you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be there or be square.
Big deep breath. Joanne just whacked her knee on the desk.
Yeah, so we've got guests in the studio today, and it's Jimmy and Joanne, and they are our foreign correspondents. We had three consecutive weeks learning everything about Libya, the lies, the facades, and,
the
actual truth about the beauty of the people in the country and what they've been through at the hands of the U.S. government and military. And Jimmy and Joanne are back.
And the lies.
And the lies.
And the lies.
And the lies. There's a lot of lies.
And we're going to talk about world politics.
Well, we had these guys for 3 weeks. First time we had them on, I don't have my computer with me, but if you want to catch up on what we're talking about.
June
16th. June 16th, Bob, cute. Thanks, Bob. Bob's like my roving encyclopedia. So June 16th, that was when we started the Libya series, and then we did three consecutive weeks. So the first time we had them on, we Skyped with them, and they used voiceovers, and then the agency people contacted them and said, hey, what are you doing on the radio with changed voices and fake names?
Which means that the Alphabet Soup folks were listening to our show.
Imagine that. They're not just listening to your phone calls just in case you were feeling special today. So we're here to bust that myth. So they came on with us a couple more times, and so anyway, we had the opportunity to be in the studio, and since all we ever hear about is Libya, Syria, and Egypt anymore, I mean, it's Libya, Syria, and Egypt all the time. So we figured, well, today, instead of doing the history of the Libyan conflict, which we, I mean, that's all part of it, but we've done quite a bit on that. So if you have to do some refresher, like if you thought the Libyans were bad guys and they were the real terrorists and all that stuff, newsflash.
Not true.
Go backwards, listen to those other programs. And
They're very compelling because it's completely different than what we all thought.
Sure. And there's quite a bit on the web pages if you just want to read it and get up to speed. Mm-hmm. But so Joanne and Jimmy are on with us, and they have we have Skyped through a guest. So why don't you guys do the whole – why don't you do your introduction and then his? How about that? However you want.
Okay.
It's like five of us in a tiny room, okay, and we can't figure out who's going to talk next.
Is this weird for you not calling in doing the show?
This is strange.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking you in the eye.
I know.
Spooky.
And we're not playing on our computers.
No. Today, Jimmy and I are here. We're whistleblowers for the NATO war in Libya. And we have with us on Skype a tribal leader from Libya. Mufta is an expat right now because there's 2 million living in exile outside of Libya because Al-Qaeda is running that country. And should we...
Mufta is actually in Egypt, as are another about 1 million Libyans. And so they are very contemporary on what's going on in Egypt. They've been watching that with interest. And, of course, they have been offered care and protection from the tribes in Egypt. And so Libya can... I mean, you can... connect the countries by a common border, but you can also connect those peoples by their tribal cultures. And Mufta has been witnessing everything that's been going on in Egypt firsthand. And I think it would be very good for your audience to understand, let Mufta tell you about what Egypt is now and what it was a couple of months ago, and how that's important to the expats in Egypt that are from Libya. Mufta, are you there? Could you come on with us?
Yes, I will come.
Good. God bless you. How are you and all the boys doing there in Egypt?
It's okay. Let me explain about the Egypt crisis. As you hear from your media and CNN, and all, I'm sorry to tell you, first of all, that your media and your country media or your government media, all of them told you a lie. The truth as what was happening in Egypt, Muslims Brotherhood has been supported by USA government, especially Obama and Hillary Clinton. John McCain, he's the first guy in America supported Muslims Brotherhood. I don't know why. You can ask him or you can ask USA administration or government, as you say. Here in Egypt, as from the Muslims Brotherhood get the power in Egypt from 2 hours since the crisis started 2011 in Egypt, in Libya, Tunisia and Syria as well, and still running the militias and extremists who supported by Obama and John McCain, Qatar and Turkey, Erdogan, Prime Minister Erdogan, supported extremists and militias in Syria, and even they uses the poisonous gases in Syria, and they say Syrian government used the gas. It was a lie. The truth, militia, extremists, and Muslims Brotherhood in Syria used poisonous gas against civilian people.
What did you say that again?
Moved to the
Libya as well. Yes.
Yesterday, the Russian government came out and testified that they had monitored the rebels in Syria using sarin gas launched into Damascus, and Russia said that they had witnessed it with their drones, and they were going to validate the fact that the rebels were the ones using the weapons of mass destruction, and not the government.
That's the truth. Even me, I have many, a lot of people there. I have good contacts in Syria on the ground, in the capital, Damascus. And he told me before the media reported that, all except Al Jazeera and CNN announced and reported that the government used gas. Now, sarin gas, the truth. Sarin gas has been used by militia and extremists. And they carry it from Turkey to the border, and they started to use the sarin gas against civilian people to say that is government, to get any reason to let the world and your United Nations and U.S. administration intervene to Syria on the ground. But the reality, this is the truth. The militia and extremists groups use sarin gas and poisonous gas against civilian people in Egypt. In Damascus, Syria. Beside that, in Egypt, since 2011, Muslims Brotherhood display in the ground in Egypt, and they started to build a good network with the U.S. administration and Qatar. Qatar and Turkey, the first countries, supported Muslims Brotherhood. You know, the Jastik and the building part in Turkey is part from Muslims Brotherhood. It is famous in the world. And the Muslims Brotherhood, this is an international organization. It's not Egyptian organization or Turkish organization. This is, and since 1928, when the Muslims Brotherhood has been established in Egypt, it started to build network and started to work under the table. All of the all their job, only the kill the people use fake documents, use dirty money. This is their job, especially for Muslims Brotherhood. In Egypt, started your administration, American administration, especially Obama and John McCain, Hillary Clinton as well, supported Muslims Brotherhood to destroy the regime in Egypt, to destroy the country, to destroy the military, to destroy military in Libya as well, and in Syria.
Hey, Mufta, we need
the
to...
Yes?
We need to take a really quick break here. Sorry? We'll be right back with you. So just in case anybody was unclear, yeah. that was Obama, Hillary Clinton, John McCain, and...
yes, this is...
And who am I missing?
Three persons.
Those three.
Muslim Brotherhood are a terrorist group.
Yeah, exactly. But our guys have been helping them. More on this subject. Lots more. Tons more. And I bet you're wishing you could call in. Sorry, it's Thursday.
Yeah, jump on the chat room and chat with each other.
Jump on the chat room and visit. We'll be on there with you. So you're listening to We the People Radio. We're here at KCNR 1460 AM. We're going to thank our advertisers. We'll be right back with all the intel on Egypt, Libya, Syria, and beyond.
What shall we do about them?
Radios appear.
We took you up and we put you in the backseat.
Dominance.
Submission.
Radios appear.
From year to year, we lift up for the venture.
Dominance.
Submission.
Radios appear.
Dominance.
Submission.
Dominance.
And we're back. We the People Radio. Tune in. WePeopleRadio.us, chatting and streaming worldwide. Don't call in today. This is a pre-recorded show, but you can jump on the chat room and have a conversation with all the other fans out there. Mm-hmm. So we are with Joanne.
We get to be on the chat room on Sunday.
We can sit on the couch.
We can do that in our pajamas.
With our laptop and a cup of coffee, and that'll be kind of fun. Not that we don't do that every Sunday anyway.
Yeah, really.
Just not in our jammies.
Elizabeth forgot her teeth last week.
Yeah.
We have no shame.
Yeah.
Just had to work that in again.
Yeah, Sunday morning, you may as well share it all. Let it all hang out there, folks.
Joanne's horrified. She's like, what's the benefit of radio if you tell them everything?
I know, really.
That's the benefit of radio. They count on it.
They use their imaginations. They try to picture it.
Ew.
Yeah, not good. Okay, we're back.
Now that we've gone there. Go ahead, you bring it back.
Okay.
We were talking to Mufta. Jimmy and Joanne are going to hijack this show right now.
Probably a good idea.
And we've got Mufta streaming us live. And Mufta, would you continue to tell us a little bit more about Muslim Brotherhood and their real relationship with the Muslim world and your religion?
Yeah. Yes, sir. You have to know the Muslim Brotherhood is the group. The group, the informal group for our religion, and we did not recognize for them, and we did not cooperate with them, and we there is no any relation and between as Muslims people and Muslims Brotherhood group in the world. The real Muslim did not do what are Muslim Brotherhood doing?
Joanne and I know for a fact that you all are peaceful people. You don't go around chopping off people's heads and killing babies. That's not the Muslims we know.
All their beliefs and the traditional and behave killing people, poison people, destroy country, destroy everything. And if you try to against them or discuss them or negotiate, you will not able to open any dialogue with Muslims Brotherhood, and they will not change their minds, and their mind is building something miserable and horrible for the world. Now they believe for killing all the people except Muslims Brotherhood. You don't have any choice with them. You have to be with them, or they must kill you. That's it. And there is no, we are Muslims, we are peaceful people, we communicate, we cooperate, we recognize for another religious, Christian, Jewish, and we like the people, and we like to help the people, and we like to live with the people in peaceful situation. Okay. Muslims, brother, there is no any relation between Muslims, brotherhood, and Muslims, religion, Islam, religion.
When did the Muslim Brotherhood first show up?
1920s?
Like 1928.
28.
And you have to know, yes. And Muslims, Brotherhood grew, why? Established by MI6.
MI6?
More spies.
Yes, yes.
Just elevated.
By
more
Hassan
spies.
Al-Banna. Yes, by Mr. Hassan al-Banna. He died.
Mr.
And
say his name again.
Established there,
by
Mr.
who?
Hassan al-Banna. Hassan al-Banna.
Is he a British guy?
He's the leader. Yes, he's the leader for Muslim Brotherhood.
Lovely. Okay.
And Mufta, how many?
Sheikh. We say Sheikh. Yes.
How many people in Egypt follow the Muslim Brotherhood?
No. There are about 4,000, 5,000, as they say, according to the lists for them. About 4,000. But the problem, they use the dirty money to spend the money for the poor people. This is the problem. Here, when you saw last day's demonstration, there is no peaceful demonstration in Muslims Brotherhood law. There is no peaceful demonstration for them. They invited the people and they paid the money to the people to stay with them there and show themselves, and they organized peaceful demonstration against government. There is no government. Now all the people in Egypt, they show themselves and display themselves in the streets and they organized peaceful demonstration against Muslim Brotherhood. And about 33 million Egyptian people, and they were in the streets in 30th of June, as you showed, I think.
Yes.
The people who organized peaceful demonstration in Egypt, they asked and they called the military and the court in Egypt to help them to clean and to push the Muslims Brotherhood out of the country and put them in the prison, because almost of them a criminal, almost anywhere the police and security in Egypt captured Muslims Brotherhood any member, they found with them with him or with them weapons, gases, protector materials and many things at homes. You know, don't believe that they are peaceful demonstration for Muslims Brotherhood, something like this. No, only Al Jazeera and CNN.
We saw the video.
Why?
We saw the video you sent us.
We have many videos. We have many videos. They killed before 2 weeks. They killed and tortured about 12 or 13 police officers in Egypt.
Police officers.
The place called Kerdasa. Kerdasa.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, police office. They attacked the police office and building, and they burned the building. They killed all the police men in the office, police office, and they tortured them.
They tortured them.
Mufta, let me yes. Break in a minute. You know, the thing that we're asked many times, and Joanne and I have begun to speak openly about what's happened to us, and they say, well, why are you telling this story? Why are you doing this? And I said, because, you know, the God-fearing people of the world have to join hands, because the bad people, the really negative bad people, the devil people, are such a powerful force that all of us good folks have to join hands, and we have to forget about race, creed, and color, and religion, and we have to join hands to try to bring the world back to some kind of reality. And, you know, we have wonderful friends in Libya. You know, you have wonderful friends over here. The problem is the bad guys are the ones with the guns, and the bad guys are getting supported by the wrong governments. And, you know, we know you're a good voice. We know you and all our friends are good people. But we need to let the world know that if we join hands, we stand a chance, because It cannot continue with these madmen killing people like they do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you there? Hello.
He's in stunned silence.
Yes, with you.
Mufti,
I'm with you.
You said the Muslim Brotherhood, they hire mercenaries. They pay people to come and demonstrate with them.
Yes.
And you sent us a video of the Muslim Brotherhood practicing and pretending to be shot by the government, like making a movie, and all the media was there taping them.
Yes. This is for Al Jazeera. This is
Al Jazeera
program between Al Jazeera and Muslim Brotherhood.
And they did this in Libya too.
Only Al Jazeera.
They did this in Libya. They made a fake green square in
this
Qatar.
This is how the crisis started in 2011. Everything depends on the lie of media. Everything in Libya, in Egypt, in Tunisia, in Syria as well, started by lie of media, dirty media. Al Jazeera, CNN, Al Arabiya in that time.
Well, Mufti, don't you think
from
that
which you saw nothing correct, nothing truth. All they just try, they say like comedia, like a movie at the end of the street. They're training the people especially for this issue.
Yes, and in Qatar they made a fake Tripoli. A green square where they had fake rebels saying they were like a stage.
Like a stage,
exactly. And we met some of the media that were there.
Like Wag the Dog.
Yeah. Oh, it's 100%
green
like that.
Screen. You know.
Yeah.
Exactly like this. And when the police and security police authority in Egypt attacked them and they tried to offer through them from the square where they called Rabaa. They found many people died inside.
Yes, dead bodies.
These people, about more than 20.
And where was
this? They have been killed by Muslim Brotherhood militias.
This was in a mosque that the Muslim Brotherhood leaders were living in? And then when they broke in to get them out?
Yes.
They found them in Egypt?
Yes,
near a square in Egypt, the big square?
Yes, they killed and tortured many people.
And they were inside, living inside this mosque, and there were 20 dead bodies inside.
They had stuffed them in a room. They use it.
Awesome. You have to know something. They use the mosques to cover their crimes.
Their crimes. Yeah.
They
sure.
Use the cover. This is the problem here, and this is the thing is which you did not know, and your media did not know this. The Muslims use the mosque and the church to cover and to protect it. Their crimes.
Same in Libya.
Okay, I have a question.
Okay.
The Muslim Brotherhood, which is an extreme group and really small in numbers overall, who do they work for?
Well, it's got to be three-letter guys, you know. I mean, who benefit from?
Yeah.
They're
not about religion.
Well, if they were started by MI6.
They're not Muslims. But Mufti, if you remember...
And you have to know, the military in Egypt, they captured many... A lot of from them in Sina and Rafah and Al-Arish as well, they found a lot of them foreign people, not Egyptian people, from Afghanistan, from Pakistan, from Tunisia, from Palestine, especially the majority from them Hamas movement.
Yes.
Now, Mufti, if you remember, in Libya, they were using the mosques and they were doing all these terrible things. They were providing drugs and bringing young women in there and raping them in the mosques. And you Libyans went in and...
This is something is a forum for us.
I know.
Never allow to anyone to use mosque to do something wrong.
But you all went back... But Mufti, you went back during the war and you actually leveled. You tore down some of the mosques that had been violated so badly... Because they had ruined that structure for your religion, and you all did that many, many times in Libya. Zawiya, I remember.
This is good indication, and confirmed for you. That means Muslims Brotherhood and extremist group is not Muslim.
Exactly. Not really.
That's right.
Because any Muslim, peaceful Muslim. Will not allow to anyone to do anything wrong inside the mosque.
That's right.
The mosque.
Mufti.
Mosque, yes.
They've got
everything bad and everything miserable at the mosque. They use drugs.
I know.
They were bring ladies inside the mosques.
Yes.
Oh. And they did rape. All their crimes inside the mosque.
They raped the women there.
Mufta, they've got another commercial break. If you'll bear with us just one more time, they're going to have some commercials. They have to pay for the station like that. So if you'll bear with us, we'll be back to you. God bless you.
Radio over here is funny. They
need envy. Revenue. We're not NPR.
No. Some days that's a good thing.
It's revenue.
Are we allowed to bash NPR? Is that against the rules? I know we can say crap. So we'll be back. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM. Be back on Libya, Egypt, Syria, and all that stuff.
You guys. Hey.
The trouble with the truth is it's always the same old thing. So hard to forget, so impossible for me to change.
Talking with Jimmy and Joanne, who have become our regular foreign correspondents, and that's a mild term. And we're Skyping with one of their very dear friends, a tribal leader who is in exile in Egypt.
From Libya.
And he's giving us the truth about what happened.
I've got a couple of questions for you. How is Egypt now, since you've thrown out Morsi and the military there is trying to bring law and order. Is Egypt a better place now?
Yes. Since overthrow Morsi and his regime and Muslim Brotherhood regime, they start to make trouble. But the military and the new government, good government and military is nationalism and good people. And they were good people with all the people here. Now started to save, started to secure, started everything as... organized as before,
good.
You know, and everything guarantee for the people.
Looking better.
And the civilian, you know, civilian government, civilian prime minister, and you know, the president now just permanent for 9 months or something like this. The president is the justice, you know, he was the lawyer, the high court.
He's the interim.
For high court. Yes, Mr. Adli Mansour, he's the president now.
Good.
Only for about 9 months.
Okay.
But I don't know why your administration, Obama and John McCain, asked, you know, to release Morsi and his group, extremist group. You have to know the truth. Muslim Brotherhood is an extremist group. It's a rubbish group.
They're terrorists.
And for informal group for terrorists. And for informal group for our community.
Mufta, let me make a point. The administration in Washington, D.C. does not represent the people of the United States. None of us that I know are in line with those folks. But I want to ask you another question because we don't have a lot of time, but I want to know, we heard that the U.S. was sending in phony investment companies into Libya, acting like investment companies, and really they were there to bring in military.
Yes.
Have you heard that?
Yes.
This is happening right now.
We heard, and the people here in Libya, and we heard from a few days, just the security, the company, investment company to invest in Libya. That's the truth, is a security company, like Blackwater. This is a crime, and this is a bad thing to Libya, and the people started now to know the reality, and started to know the truth about these companies.
Yeah,
this
are
is
they? Are
like a dirty game with the community to destroy, to support and protect Muslim Brotherhood and terrorist group in Libya, to protect them and to against the people, civilian people, and to kill the people.
Well,
and they trained them how to kill the people.
Mufto, we're going to try to get that story out. We're going to try to find, we're going to try to corner some politicians that should know about that and see if we can't get that truth, because that's absolutely against the law in the United States. And we're going to try to do that.
In the street of Libya.
Okay. Well,
the people that start here now in Libya about this stuff.
Good, good. Well,
and this is a big problem, and this is against the law, against the United Nations law, against the Geneva law.
The Geneva Convention. Yes.
Well, Mufto, yes. I want to thank you again for being on with us this morning. I know you've got a real busy day, and you were traveling a lot the last 2 days. But we want, where our prayers go out to you and all of our friends there and all the tribal leaders, and please give them all our best wishes and tell them we pray for them every day. And keep yourself safe, and God bless you all, and we pray that you can get your country back real soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mufto.
Thanks so much. God bless you, Mufto.
So I asked you earlier,
Joanne ringing her own bell there on the microphone,
what was next after the powers that be got what they wanted from Libya, Egypt, and Syria, and you think that the next stop is Iran?
Well, they've got their plan. They've got the schedule of all the countries they're going to knock over, and you know, it's so disturbing.
Are they all in the Middle East?
No. They had six countries in South America they were knocking over, and they already started that. They had a turnover of one country down there almost overnight. Paraguay and Uruguay are on their list. Colombia, Bolivia, Peru, you know, they've got a list of all these countries they're going to knock over.
And are these the countries that are prospering?
Yeah. And the thing is that it's a whole lot cheaper. If there was a one-world government, then what you want is a bunch of wood haulers. They call them CAFRs, and they want a bunch of wood haulers that work cheap. And anybody that's making any money or productive and everything is not needed. So you get rid of all the folks that are productive, and the small group at the top owns everything, and they got everybody else working for them. And, you know, there's got to be a special place in hell for all those guys.
So, and I think about our neighbors north of here, Canada. We never hear about them. Are they on the list?
Well,
Canada was with NATO bombing in it in Libya.
Mm.
They were their part pilots were over there
part
flying.
Part of the cabal.
Yeah.
But a lot of these people are useful idiots, right?
Yeah.
It's not like they sat in on all the in-depth briefings, you know.
They said froggy jump, and they said how high.
You know, the last presidential election, the only man running for president that did not sign on with the Bilderbergs was Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So really, are these guys appointed or are they elected?
Yeah. Well, Ron Paul is all about staying out of everybody else's business.
He's all about, the Constitution.
Yeah.
What's he doing these days, anyway?
He's got a radio show.
Yeah, and he's got a website.
Yeah, and he's got a website. I saw an interview with him a couple of days ago. Yeah, he's still getting the word out.
Yeah, he is.
He's never deviated a bit, you know.
Yeah, he doesn't change his colors from day to day, depending on who's popular.
If I may borrow Joanne's microphone for just a moment here.
Sure, go ahead. Rip it out of her hands,
Bob.
But
Ron Paul, if we do carry Ron Paul's commentary Monday through Friday on KCNR at 6:30 in the morning and 6:30 in the evening.
Great.
I did not know that.
Nice. Thanks, Bob.
Good.
Now you can give Joanne her microphone back.
Hey, guys. Bob's like our encyclopedia.
You need to understand what your radio station does.
I have a salary adjustment coming for the folks here that don't know the stations. I'm charged Sunday morning.
From free to free?
Yeah, there you go.
From free to more free?
Well, so if the Libyans are in exile in Egypt, and Egypt is blowing up.
Egypt is becoming...
No, Egypt is absolutely settled down. And things are going back to normal.
That's what Mufto was saying.
Are they?
Yeah, peace is coming back.
But 90, he was saying, okay.
90 million Egyptians,
sure.
Biggest Muslim country, and they lived on tourism. They had about 40 million tourists a year, and there is zero tourism with Muslim Brotherhood blowing everybody up, chopping off Coptic Christians' heads and babies' heads and everything else. And so
blowing up all
that
the churches.
That ruined that. And there was an extreme... group in Egypt living on the line, just barely existing. And there were about, I think it was some millions, I don't know if it was 10 or 12 million Egyptians a day came in to Cairo to work. And
oh,
all
wow.
that stopped.
Oh, yeah.
And so, they could not exist. with this Sharia law and all this radicalism and everything. And so when the 33 million came to the street, of course, the fourth largest military in the world is the Egyptian army.
It's 2 million people.
So they
or 2 million soldiers.
So they stepped forward and backed the people of Egypt. They said, we're the brother of the people of Egypt. Mm-hmm. And they stepped forward. And of course, they're bringing normalcy back. And now then the economy's beginning to churn again, and they're getting their utilities back, and they're getting their water supply back. And so, you know, hopefully in some few months, they'll begin to get the tourism back. But no, they're doing great in Egypt now. Now they are still fighting to get rid of the rest of these radical Islamists.
Who are bringing in Hamas and other groups from mm-hmm. outside mm-hmm. to fight. In fact, they captured the brother of al-Zawahiri. The head of al-Qaeda. They captured him most recently. He was leading the Muslim Brotherhood. He was attempting to bring in weapons of mass destruction and some other things, and they captured him at the border. But the Egyptians themselves are peaceful people. They
of course.
And they're secular, and they always had alcohol in the hotels and stuff for the mm-hmm. people, you know, who came there.
And they have hope. They have hope that their country can come back and be better than it was before.
The other thing that just was reported was that the Arab, I don't know if you guys know this, but the Arab League of Nations stepped up and said, forget the United States for aid. Don't let them blackmail you. Don't let them say anything.
I did hear that.
We will pick up all the aid because the Arab nations know who the Muslim Brotherhood is, and they do not support them.
Right.
And they support the new government already.
It was huge money.
Yeah.
Already put forward either 13 or 16 million. They said whatever
billion.
The United
States. Billion.
I meant billion. Yeah. Whatever the United States was supporting you with, we will cover that and more if needed.
It's like a bizarre international poker game.
Yeah. And here's the other thing.
Take the U.S. and raise you.
The general said that they had found documents that said that Obama had paid $8 billion to Muslim Brotherhood to buy 40% of the Sinai Peninsula. That was a phony way to get $8 billion into the hands of Muslim Brotherhood. And Obama said, we want that document back. And the general said, no, we're going to have a full and open investigation about that. That's something
that
needs
was some
to be
of the documents found in Morsi's desk.
Is he dead yet?
No, he's the general.
He's still alive.
General
Sisi?
Yeah. No, yeah, he's no. loved
so,
by the
and
Egyptian
he still
people.
Has it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh.
let's talk about Obama.
we have to.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I hate to do that to you. But okay, so worldview, fifth year in office. Where does he stand right now?
It's a lame duck.
Yeah, he's looked at as such a pitiful person. His international acumen is zero. His domestic acumen is zero. You know, they look at him as just a real bad joke.
All the European countries are pissed off because Snowden showed them that we're spying on all of them.
Sure.
They're
all really pissed off.
So really the only idiots in the world picture are Americans.
No, not the Americans. That's really the media.
Yes, we can say crap too.
The media. The media is still trying to sell that dead rat. The media is still continuing trying to, they keep spray painting it with glitter and everything. It's still a dead rat. And they keep selling it, and they keep losing their credibility, you know.
How much more damage can he do in the remainder of his term?
He does. Every day he does damage. Like right now, he's sending in investment companies into Libya. They're not investment companies, but armed security companies trying to subordinate.
To support al-Qaeda's takeover of Libya.
They're Blackwater contractors.
Yeah. And that's coming from the United States. And these guys, you know, who pays them? Because all the money of Libya has disappeared. But, you know, that's illegal acts. You can't do that. But, you know, they shred the Constitution. And
so, diplomatically speaking, does the United States have any allies left?
I don't know. In Egypt, I'll tell you a funny thing. They were threatened, you know. And Egypt told them, you know, if you don't stay out of
Venezuela,
our politics here, then you need to close your embassy and get the hell out of Dodge. Mm-hmm. So the Egyptians invited the United States to close their embassy and leave.
When John McCain went over there with, was it Lindsey Graham? Who went over there with him to tell him that we have to let the Muslim Brotherhood out? General Sisi said, you know what? We don't need your advice. Don't want your advice. You don't know anything about our policies here. You need to go home and take care of your problems.
I think it's time for the rest of the world to tell the United States to butt out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish we could tell them to butt out.
We're gonna have to
bring us some Egyptians.
We're going to have to go into exile somewhere else.
Where's General Sisi?
I want to learn how to walk like an Egyptian.
Exactly. Bob, can you make that happen for us?
Musically speaking. No physical demonstrations necessary.
I wanted him to make Jimmy walk like an Egyptian.
No,
put him on a camel.
I was on a camel for 8 days.
Ooh,
and I'm telling you, scrambled eggs will make you walk like an Egyptian.
Yeah. Do they smell? Do they smell as bad as
and
they
look? And they spit and they kick and bite.
Really?
Oh, man.
But do they just go and go and go?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, are they just... They're
really? They don't need to drink water?
The ships of the desert, that's what they call them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they always look like they smell.
The camel's milk is good, though. We've had it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's good milk.
It's good
It's very, very healthy for you.
And the dispenser's up high because they have such long legs, so that's kind of handy.
I didn't do the dispensing part.
On that note. Oh, look at this. We're going to make Jimmy dance. We'll be right back with you later on We the People Radio. It's KCNR 1460 AM. And we're back. So, let's talk John McCain for a minute.
Ew.
Do we have to?
You're not allowed to swear on the air.
The only reason I want to is, what was his motivation?
I think that when he was a prisoner of war, they did a brain transplant. Now, you know, he was never the brightest. Well, the sharpest tool in the shed or anything. His father admitted that even though he graduated the last in his class and everything, he said, well, did he ever cheat or anything like that? And they said no, and he said that should be good enough. So I think he's absolutely done as much
he was
as
he was a ring knocker. He went to Naval Academy.
Oh. And I think he's
What's a ring knocker?
Guys who wear the Naval Academy ring.
Oh, okay.
They call them in the military.
Okay. I think he has done absolutely so much with the limited capacity he was born with that, you know, that's not an excuse.
I think he's a Manchurian candidate.
Yeah.
One of them.
Yeah, more than there's one more now. Than one.
Well, it just keeps getting worse. I mean, it's...
Oh, I know.
God, you know.
All the scum is truly rising to the surface.
Yeah. Oh, man. And the Libyans told us that everybody who went to Benghazi and made friends
all
with the Muslim Brotherhood, all the politicians, they got a $10 million hit every time they showed up.
I've been trying to get proof of that, and they said, we'll find it one day.
They said, we'll find the proof, don't worry, just give us some time.
But, you know, that would explain why everybody was going to Benghazi from the first
day. I think Clinton
day.
Was there twice. You know, and John McCain was there hugging the
Al-Qaeda,
saying these are my heroes.
He did it again in Syria.
We have pictures of him with Chris Stevens over there. And doing Jewish prayers over
there. Sold out him, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, he wasn't a good guy either.
No, but he had too much information.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what's the prevailing sentiment on that? None of that's ever coming out, or what?
No. You know, there's two prominent Republicans blocking the investigation of Benghazi.
Gramnesty and McCain?
No, in the House.
No, in the House.
Uh-huh.
Boehner
and Sessions.
Sessions from Dallas.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know about Sessions.
Oh, yeah.
Tea Party's having a big thing against him in Dallas.
Mm.
And why? You know, I mean, the truth needs to be, needs to be told.
My next question. Why?
Truth needs to be told. And, when we've got a Democratic Party and we've got a Democratic Light Party called Republicans, and then where's all the rest of us?
They're undocumented Democrats.
Well, the bad part is now, I mean, you could vote for something
rhinos.
But look at all the guys that voted to have the NSA stop spying, you know, the Amash Amendment. Well, you had the hardcore left, and you kind of had the hardcore right, which sort of met somewhere on the edge or in the middle, depending on how your dots connect. But you were considered voting with the left, but if you were on the left, you were considered voting with the conservatives. So it's like there was no win. except that would have been the best thing for all of us, to have him not spy on us.
Yeah.
So anymore, the whole party thing is a little bit...
There is no Republican Party.
There's no left-right. There's no Republican-Democrat. It really almost is issue-based politics.
Yeah, it is.
You know, you've got to look at the issue and then figure out what the right path is and then kind of stop looking around at who's with you.
And you've got the Blaze bringing the CIA into our house. So... Who's going back?
Tell me more.
Talk about that.
You didn't know about that?
No, tell me.
Yeah, remember that was from before. That was the Tara Dahl gal that showed up with Glenn Beck's film crew.
That's right.
That was like show, what show was that? Show two?
I think they expanded on that at the Tea Party meeting, but I'm not sure they ever went into that in detail on the program here.
No, we didn't go into detail on the program.
Oh, okay. You told me about it on the phone.
No, Tara Dahl was the aide or is the aide to Michelle Bachmann. Turns out she's a spy.
She's a snake.
Mm-hmm. She's not. Mm-hmm. She was befriended us to find out where the Libyans were, to find more information on them, and she brought four different agencies to us for information when they didn't get
and
what
when
they wanted.
Cut off one, then another one would pop up.
Pop up another one. So we had FBI, we had CIA, and we had DIA, Department of Defense Intelligence, in our home. And the last one that brought
us... our invitation, incident.
Yeah, at our invitation.
Because you were trying to help.
We were trying to pass coordinates where Al-Qaeda was. In Libya, we had those coordinates. We had where their weapons stores were. We had everything. Nothing ever happens. You just, as the one guy said, they're just vacuum cleaners. They come in and suck all the information and go away. But Glenn Beck's group came in, the Blaze. Tara Dahl introduced us to a guy named Joe Weasel.
And he is one.
Is it seriously? That's his name?
That's his name. Jimmy asked him that. He said, seriously? That's your name? He
never
said, yeah, no one ever forgets it, he said.
Wow.
I may as well live up to it while I'm at it.
Yeah, he told us they were going to make a two-hour documentary on us, that we had more information than anybody they'd ever talked to. We were actual eyewitnesses. It was real important. And so instead of 2 weeks, they called the next day and said, we'll be there in 3 days.
Like the Blaze TV?
Yeah, the Blaze, they do the documentaries. They're the, I don't know, media part of Glenn Beck's organization.
Production company.
Yeah, production company. They showed up with, Joe Weasel showed up with two other people from the Blaze.
And they were from the Blaze. We looked them up on the internet.
We have their business cards.
That was them.
That was them. And they brought, they said, a security lady to take care of us or to help us because we needed security. They said we were in more danger from this government than we were when we were held by Al-Qaeda in Libya. We said, oh, great. You know, that's good. So they taped us for 6 hours. They said, we'll be back.
What was the name of this gal? It was such a...
Nikki Barakal was her name.
Oh, yeah.
And she told us that we were absolutely credible. She said, I've interrogated a whole lot of people in my life. You guys are 100%. You're telling the truth. I can tell it. And I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to set up security for you, and I'm going to make sure your emails aren't read, and we'll talk back and forth privately. And... they said they'd be back on, this was a Monday, they said they'd be back on Thursday to finish the show, and that Glenn Beck would want to have us on his show at least twice, and that our video would be out on the 18th of June. Wednesday rolled around, we never heard from him. I called Joe Weasel on his personal cell phone that I had, no answer. Instead, I get a call back from this Nikki person, who tells me that she has decided to cancel the entire project because it's too risky for Glenn Beck. It's too risky for the Blaze because we're talking to intelligence people. I said, that's how you came to us, through intelligence people.
And during the interview, they knew we were, in fact, on the phone conversations before, they asked us who we'd been talking to. We gave them all that information. They knew everything we were doing.
Well, because they were introduced by Tara Dahl, who had introduced all the rest of them.
Wow.
So they got the info and left.
Yeah, and they left. And she canceled it, and she told us we better forget about Libya, and we better forget about talking about Libya if we ever wanted a life.
You start your life over today, you forget everything about Libya, and if you don't, you won't have a life.
She said that.
She said that, yeah.
And she said that, I said, that sounds like a threat.
Michelle Bachmann's aide.
No, this is Nikki Barakal.
Okay, sorry. From the Blaze.
Yeah, that had been coming with the, she was the one who was going to protect us.
I said, that sounds like a threat. She said, you need to stand down like a Marine sergeant or something, you know.
You said, I'm going to call Aaron and Elizabeth, and I'm going to get on with the people, and I'm telling everybody.
And, you know.
She said, you can talk
four times.
She gave us permission to talk about when we were captured by Al-Qaeda, but we could speak of nothing else. Nothing else.
Really?
Yeah.
Like no U.S. involvement, no John McCain's
a weasel. Talk about anything.
And really, the truth is, that's when we started looking for you. We said, we got to go public because we're in so much trouble. We need some friends.
She's the one who told us we were targeted.
We need some friends.
That we were tagged at the airport when we came in.
Blacklisted.
The first time we came back from being captured by Al-Qaeda. Jimmy was taken by the FBI for 3 hours and interrogated. She said, that's when you were tagged.
She said, we'd never get a job. we were going to be destroyed financially. They did that.
I was going to say check.
That they would alienate us and isolate us from everybody. They've done all that.
This is the perfect interrogation music right here.
Oh, yeah.
Take that.
Oh, yeah, we can fun it up no matter how you cut it. All right, you're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR. We will be back with you in 5 short minutes for the rest of the story.
I want to talk about Michelle Obama.
I think Carrot Doll is the one that burned her down.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
And we're back. It's hour two of We the People Radio, chatting and streaming worldwide at wethepeopleradio.us. Don't call in today. This is a pre-recorded show. And I do want to remind you again, this is Global Geoengineering Rally Day, Protest Day, mm-hmm. March Day. Find a march, rally, or protest near you.
And in Redding, it's at the City Hall at 11 o'clock, so you have 1 hour to get there. You don't even have to dress up. Just stay out of the sun.
Bring a chair, bring a sign.
Oh, yeah. Chair and a sign. That's true. Because they're going to have speakers.
They are.
In Reading, they're going to have speakers. Yes. Maybe other towns, they won't.
And if you want to know what geoengineering is, educate yourself and be sure to look up.
Geoengineeringwatch.org.
That's correct.
.com? .org.
I think it's .org.
Yeah. Geoengineering Watch. I know that for sure. So try your org and your .com. Maybe Bob could check it for us since he's our roving encyclopedia.
So we're talking to Jimmy and Joanne, and they're becoming our regular foreign correspondents. And we've covered Libya and Egypt and Syria. And then we kind of segued into Obama, John McCain. I don't even care about Hillary. And then we started talking about the Glenn Beck Show and the Blaze and their infiltration, or they've been infiltrated. But we were talking a little bit about the person that contacted you, pulled you into that web, and then they sold you out. But her name is Tara.
Uh-huh, Tara Dahl.
And she's Michelle Bachmann's aide.
Yes.
And what happened to Michelle Bachmann?
Michelle Bachmann is not going to run for office anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That
was a shocker.
Yeah. She's been under investigation for some irregularities in funding in
mm-hmm.
her campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, how that happened.
Yeah. All of a sudden.
Yeah. And Tara Dahl's with her all the time.
Yeah. So you think Tara Dahl did this to her?
I would have to
guess. If I was Michelle Bachmann, I'd be looking up somebody else's shorts. But, you know, one of Michelle Bachmann's other aides is also, I think she's under indictment for irregularities with campaign contributions. And, you know, when you've got a snake inside your chicken coop,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So maybe Michelle got a little too close for comfort.
Oh, I'm sure. She absolutely was mm-hmm. one of the people that's been targeted.
Mm-hmm.
She speaks her mind, you know. She's,
yeah.
she's absolutely behind the Constitution.
Yeah.
Things that wasn't on the agenda. There were, you know,
sure.
I'm sure. The thing about what happened with us when Tara Dahl introduced us to Joe Weasel of the Blaze,
mm-hmm.
the way this all unraveled was, Tara Dahl said, "I don't really know this guy. I've never really met him. I'll be on the phone with you when he calls." She wasn't on the phone. It was just him by himself. That's fine. I didn't mm-hmm. care. When he came to visit us, he told us, "Don't you love Tara Dahl? I spent a lot of time in Egypt with her when we went and did the study on the Coptic Christians." And I said, "Really?" I said, "So you know her real well?" And he said, "Yeah, I know
her." She traveled to Egypt with us,
and I know her real
and
well.
And according to her, she never met him.
So when when they decided they were not going to do the, or when Nikki Barakal said they couldn't do the
and she threatened us.
And threatened us, yeah. And of course, Joe Weasel's never spoken to us again, and we mm-hmm. said, "We want all our documentation back, and we want a sign. We never authorized you to take it." She said, "Oh, you gave it to us freely." I said, "No, mm-hmm. no. It's called lying and defrauding people. You can't do that. You can't lie and defraud people and take, you know, extract things from mm-hmm. them illegally. You under can't do that pretenses. Under false pretenses. You
and
can't do that.
Specifically, they were getting our information because they were going to do a documentary. They weren't paying us anything, but they said with this documentary, and they knew what financial shape we'd been destroyed to. And but you can take this documentary and go out and stump speeches and stuff like that, and it'll do you a lot of good, a lot
she
of
said,
credibility.
They even said, we know somebody, we have a producer, we have a movie producer we work with that would, you know, probably be interested in your story. We're going to introduce you to him. All that, of course, disappeared, like went up in smoke, like they never said it.
So if we follow the trail and work backwards, you've got Michelle Bachmann and then her aide, Tara Dahl, and then clearly Tara Dahl was very strategically placed in Bachmann's
yeah.
camp.
Oh, yeah.
And Tara Dahl introduced us to each one of the four intelligence agencies. When we'd get tired of one of them not doing anything, then all of a sudden she'd drop another one in, and then another one. And four times she did that. And the thing that I now realize happened is she wanted to go over and meet the tribal leader. She wanted to get into the reporting business, according to her. And so she was going to go to
all
Egypt.
All the three-letter people like
she was going to go to Egypt and wanted to talk to the tribal leaders, meet all of them and all this stuff. And so we were willing to set that up. And then she was going to do it on her own time, not as an aide to the Congressman Bachmann or anything.
Because it would be way too political for Congressman Bachmann to be.
And so
that's what she told me.
Then, after everything was set up, pretty well set up, she said, then I'm going to bring my own security people. And he speaks Arabic, and he'll be translating for me. I said, nah, don't really need that. Well, he's in Yemen right now, and he's going to come from Yemen and meet me. And no, we don't really like anybody in Yemen. And what does he do? Well, he used to be with Blackwater. Now he's got his own private company. And
he was a Navy SEAL, and he's Blackwater, and then he's this, and he's that.
And then the wings fell off the plane, yeah. And you guys plummeted to earth. Yeah.
And I told her, I said, you know, we're just not going to have that. We don't need those kind of people because there's a death warrant out on all these tribal leaders, and they don't need that kind of exposure. Well, you know, he's going to translate. I said, well, first of all, he would never be allowed to be at any of the meetings.
They don't know who
well,
he
why
is.
Why not? I said, because we don't need anybody,
mm-hmm.
you know, there.
And they don't need a translator.
And you don't need a translator. Mufti's going to translate. And I said, the tribal leaders would not be comfortable. And she said, well, where would I be staying? So Mufti described exactly where the hotel she'd be staying in and where it was in view of his apartment and things like that, and all the other guys in
said,
close
proximity.
He said, we will
provide you with security. We'll provide.
And then about when we canceled that is when she said, well, I'm not going to go without my security. And I said, then I think you need to stay your ass at home. And Joanne said, how could you say that, Turner? Well, I'm pretty plain spoken. About 10 days later, Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda killed five or six of those tribal leaders that were in that area. They had to move where they were staying. They had changed security.
Because you had basically given the area that they were in.
And we never thought it was Tara Dahl until it turns out that she is the snake she is.
Well, when I called her back when the Blaze wouldn't speak to it, would never answer their phone or speak to me, and every time I called them, I got a call back from Nikki. I sent them an email. I get a call from Nikki. They don't answer anything. She just talks to me and tells me to get my act together and forget what I know and if I ever want to have a life, you know. So I told Tara Dahl, I called her, and I said, what's up with this Joe Weasel guy? I said, they said they won't do the documentary because it's too dangerous, because we've talked to intelligence people. And I said, they knew that coming in. And she said, I really don't know. You're just paying stupid. And I said, and another thing, I thought you said you didn't know Joe Weasel. He told me you went to Egypt with him on the Coptic Christian shoot. And she said, it was a big pause, and she said, I can't comment on that. And then,
like,
click.
Oh, you already did.
Click, hung up, cut off Skype, cut off my phone number, cut off, no contact with her ever again.
Who's the one who told you guys were under soft attack?
Nikki Bear.
And she's the one at the Blaze.
Blaze brought in.
Yeah.
And soft attack means they're just going to ruin you financially.
And they isolate you from all your business
contacts.
And your family members and stuff, and that's true. Our family members are afraid to have us come see them, because the next thing they lose their job, or you're too political, and why don't you just go get a job, and why don't you forget us, and, you know, can you go crawl in a hole because you all are too political? This is our family, you know. And so the isolation for business associates, absolutely. We had a partnership with a high-ranking Kuwaiti, and he stopped talking to us a year ago, January. We didn't know why. Well, now we know why. He told us later that, you know, it's political. It's because of Libya, you know, and you all are political, and we just can't talk to you anymore.
They're threatened. They use the IRS as a big hammer.
No, They're objective, and they don't do anything that we don't.
I'm just amazed that this Tara Dahl at such a young age could be so skilled at deception.
When Morsi was taken out of office, about 2 days later when all this was going on in Egypt, we get a call from, we were talking to Mufti, and he said, Tara's here. I said, she's where? He said, she's in Egypt. She wants to meet with me. And I said, don't meet with her, Mufti. I said, she's not a good person. She's looking for something that, he said, well, something very strange. She said, meet me in this coffee shop at this place. He said, there's 100,000 coffee shops here, and she knows this specific one in this specific area. He said, and I asked her where she was staying, and she wrote back to me, why do you need to know that? And he said, that's strange. I said, yeah, because she's staying in a CIA compound.
Let me tell you something about Joanne and myself. We were always looking for the good in people. We never looked for subterfuge and things like that. And we were absolutely played like a fiddle. And, you know, absolutely played over and over and over.
These guys were supposed to be working for us, you know.
We thought we were helping our
government. We're the guys they're after. We're the guys they're interrogating.
Yeah, so rather than get rid of the bad guys that we spend all this time talking about, we're busy chasing around American citizens who have information and want to help.
That's right.
Yeah, help with our national security issues, but we'd rather spy on everybody.
So that's
super confusing.
And I know real quickly we have to take a break, but I'm just curious about why Michelle Bachmann has...
she didn't know it.
But hasn't she come out and said that she supports the NSA and their surveillance?
I don't know.
That
may be part of her get out of jail card free.
Hard to know.
Okay. Just curious. I'm just painting a picture of the deception and the evilness.
Absolutely. Hi, Diane. We'll be right back with you here at We the People Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM.
Nothing is quite what it seems.
Well, maybe it is. How many people out there, okay, all together now, how many people out there think the government is evil, bad, and out of control? Okay, raise your hands.
I think everybody.
Everyone in here. So, okay, everyone at home, are we all good? See, so everything's the way we thought.
Yeah.
You know,
the thing that just came to us yesterday was some Libyans inside Libya. Said that there are these investment companies that aren't investment companies, bring in military to protect their investments that they never made, and they're getting low-level Libyan government guys to sign off and authorize the intrusion by thousands of military into Libya. And I think everybody's got to know or understand that Libya is an absolute fail state. It's been written up all over the world, not in the media here, but there's nothing but anarchy in that country, and there's no infrastructure being rebuilt, and
no
all
border
the
control.
You know, $500 billion of money has disappeared, and the $38 billion inside the country has disappeared, and all their gold and silver and everything else is gone. And even Saudi Arabia, they were real upset a few months ago because $68 billion is in the hands of these radical Islamists, the Muslim Brotherhood. Yeah, that Saudi doesn't even have any control over. And they were chastising because the country's not being rebuilt, but it's a failed state, absolutely failed state, owned by Al Qaeda. And you would think that the government of the United States would finally wake up, come out from underneath the ether and say, well, you know, we've made a real bad mistake there, and we need to try to either back out of it gracefully or whatever. No, they're not doing that. They're sending in.
Maybe it was the agenda. Maybe that's what they wanted.
Well, now, here's my question. So Egypt has been able to pull it back together, and they're on the road to recovery. You don't see that for Libya?
The army in Libya was blown up.
Libya's only had 5.5 million people to begin with, 90 million in Egypt. And there have been 250,000 well-armed, well-trained Al-Qaeda types in Libya.
Mercenaries.
And the living
hey, give
people
the folks a description. Let's give a description of a mercenary.
Somebody that is a psychopath, likes to cut people's heads off, works for money, and
will do anything for money.
And I asked you before, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood, the extremists, who do they work for? And you said anybody that would pay him.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And where do they come from? That's
all
another.
Everywhere.
Yeah, it's not one country.
No. In the Libyan War, they brought him in from Yemen, from Tunisia, from Algeria, from Egypt, from Afghanistan, from Pakistan. Many of them were killing our soldiers before they came and joined hands with the U.S.
A week before they were killing our boys in Afghanistan, then they're dropped down in Libya and being funded and protected by our government. And when they were interviewed on British TV, one of the guys is really one bad guy. The reporter said, well, you know, you were fighting Americans in Afghanistan last week, and now here you are. And he said, what do you think about him? Well, you know, as long as they give us what we need and what we want, then it's 50-50.
That was Abdul Hakim al-Hasidi.
Yeah.
Well, that rolls right off your tongue.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Too easy. I remember too many of them.
Okay, so paint me a picture of the U.S. and what our future looks like.
Boy, it scares me to death, and I'm fearless. You know, the thing that's wrong is that there's a systematic change of our values, and the importation of low-class, low-priced workers, and the removal of productive people here. And, you know, if you can get somebody to do the job for $2 an hour instead of somebody that does it at $100 an hour, then, of course, that's a benefit to you. And that's a terrible thing to think that our government, you know, and these little this small mass of really bad guys are working against the good of the people of the United States. They're not our government. They're working for somebody else.
Yeah.
And the people of the United States have got to wake up. We've got to join hands and forget race, creed, color, sexual orientation and everything. And the good guys, God-fearing people, need to stand up and join hands and join forces to take this country back. And, you know, the first thing you have to do is defund the beast. So, you know, you cannot – Washington, D.C. needs to be defunded. 8% they have an 8% approval. That's how much money they should get, and the other 92% needs to be spent on things that benefit the people of the United States. And you know how that happens is a real tough road to look at. But you know something has to happen because it cannot continue this way.
Well, how is it that Congress votes in their own salary, their own retirement? They exempt themselves from anything they don't like. So, for example, Social Security or Obamacare.
No, they pay Social Security. That's all a myth. They've been paying Social Security since 1982.
Oh, really? I thought they were exempt, but they're exempt from something.
Obamacare.
And Obamacare was a backdoor deal the Democrats made after everybody left town a week ago Friday.
Yeah.
That was not something they voted on or signed on to.
But they gave themselves retirement after one term. All they have to do is be elected one time, and they have retirement for life.
Got to double-check a lot of that, because a lot of that's not actually factual.
Well, they do get retirement after they...
Yeah,
after
but it's based on their years. It's based on their years of service. There's a whole big email that's going around. It's got a long list of all these things. And it says, like, no matter how many terms they're in, they get that pay for life. It's not actually true.
Well, you know, here's what's happened to us. We've become so cynical that
we believe
the worst.
No,
we believe the worst.
I'm totally with you.
And anything I hear on the mainstream media, I turn that around 180 degrees. And I think a lot of people in the United States do that as well. The problem is you've got half the people in the United States getting a mailbox check.
Right.
And, you know,
more than half.
Has to change.
More than half.
And, you know, the productive people, you know, Atlas shrugged. Eventually, you know, what good is it doing me? And I don't know. I don't have a cure. But the thing I know is that it is corrupt from top to bottom. And when the government of the United States comes after Joanne and myself for us trying to provide information against terrorism.
You just didn't realize that you were giving it back to the hands of the terrorists.
Against terrorism, you know, I mean, my gosh.
We always thought, you know, if you're fighting Al-Qaeda, who's going to take you? Who's going to come against you? You know, we're just fighting the terrorists that are against us.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't realize that they were being supported by the people, you know, that we're telling.
But one big giant piece of this puzzle, you know, everybody wants to go after the elected people, but when you look at it, who really has all the power?
Yeah.
The bureaucrats.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
The bureaucrats and the unions that cover the bureaucrats.
The czars.
Yeah,
the czars.
Yeah, but they who are the czars in charge of? They're in charge of the bureaucrats.
Yeah.
So when
but
you
they're appointed,
when
the
you
czars
look
are
at
just appointed,
right? But when you look at those agencies, who appoints them? It's mm-hmm. not the it's not your elected officials, not your congressmen and your senators. It's your president.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
So you have one, your executive branch controls
exactly
all that massive web of bureaucracy.
Hey, so here's a question, and hopefully I don't offend anybody with this, but what purpose does Congress currently serve?
Well, until they...
Maybe we're being distracted by them so that the executive branch can do more stuff to us.
And the judicial branch can legislate from the bench and, you know...
Yeah, well,
there's a lot of changes.
You got to look at the stuff that has to get that balance has to be restored because who do yeah. people go to for remedy? They go to their elected people, who at some level run out of horsepower, mm-hmm. which is not how it was supposed yeah, to be. I mean, okay, but on the flip side, if your elected officials could control your bureaucrats, then if you had somebody who was corrupt, they could manipulate the agencies to do their bidding.
Right.
So that would be super bad. I mean, they're...
Yeah.
It was always meant to be a three-legged stool.
Exactly,
and
it counts on people to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, it counts on people to do the right thing. It's kind of like, you know, well, you have these parents who abuse their own children. Well, how do we set up ultimate safeguards for that? Well, you don't.
You can't, because people get pregnant, have babies.
Right, you've got to count on people at some level to do the right thing. I mean, you can't.
But let's go back to what the Founding Fathers intended.
Mm-hmm.
No professional politicians. They would be volunteers for
that's
short
right.
periods
term
of time.
Limits.
But you also did not have a web of bureaucracy at that time.
That's right.
Who really makes most of the rules that are crushing everybody? Who have you guys all dealt with for the most part? You've dealt with the FBI, the CIA. None of those people are elected.
Mm-mm.
And they're not controlled by the people who are elected.
Mm-mm.
You know, the people who are elected can't reach in.
Yes, but controls the Department of Defense.
Exactly.
You know?
How did those bureaucracies grow?
Well, they get bigger because we have some need, right? And they make a law that needs to be bigger.
So you can get back to where the laws came from and how do they get organized, and that has to be unwound.
Well, and you look at time. You look at, like, you know, we've all seen the
first
list.
First thing
right?
we do, kill all the lawyers, because that's what Shakespeare said.
Yeah.
Because in the end, the lawyers are in there in the Congress making the laws that they enforce that make them money.
But at the end of the day, again, who do we need to unwind it? I mean, all the people that are being brutalized by environmental law need an attorney. I mean, all the farmers and ranchers that I deal with need an attorney. They could really use somebody on their side to help. So it's kind of funny,
the lawyers make the laws that make the lawyers. You know, need
kind
it
of,
too.
But they I can't mean, get out of it without somebody to represent them. So
exactly.
There is no one size fits all.
It is a catch-22.
Look at the laws we have on the books. We've all seen the list. You know, the one where you can't kill a chicken after dark or whatever in some town in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what?
Yeah, but wait a minute. There's some good laws that are not being used.
We don't get rid of them, and we don't always enforce the ones we have.
Like in Texas. In Texas, there's a deserve-to-be-shot law. It's still on the books. And if somebody deserves to be shot, you shoot him.
Suddenly excited about
and
that.
And 12 of your peers vote. If they say it was okay, then you're scot-free. So the deserve be shot law ought to be taken worldwide.
All the problems with the Veterans Administration just got solved.
Yeah, there you go.
Happy dance. Doing the happy dance over here. Hold on. I'll be back in a minute. Oh, my God.
But
yeah.
Some of them, you know, pair of barbed wire cutters in your hip pocket is a death sentence in Texas. That's still on the books.
A pair of barbed wire cutters.
You cut it, you're stealing cattle.
Because you were stealing cattle, yeah. Right? That's what I mean. I mean, over time, the world moves on, the things change, a lot of times people, look at the things that people say, well, we should have a law about that. My mom always says that. Well, honey, we should make a law about that. And I'm like, no, Mom.
More regulations, more laws.
You just have legislated common sense. And as soon as you legislate common sense, you're in really, really big trouble.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you look at a lot of the things. I mean, they were a good idea, but nobody looked at the unintended consequences down the line.
Let's look at the number of attorneys in the United States.
Sunset clause would be good.
Compared to attorneys in the rest of the world, and we got 90% of the world's attorneys here.
Yeah. Do we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
And we have all the laws to enforce.
We're graduating.
Yeah, true story.
We're graduating that number about every 3 years.
Jeez.
So that tells a story.
And yet, if you're in trouble... You know, you better hope that there's a good attorney. At the end of the day, you really need people to do the right thing. I mean,
that's
I'm just going to stick
that's
with
it.
That.
That's
You've got to count on people to do the right thing.
Yeah, we think about, if you go back, the one guy quoted the Founding Fathers about what they signed on the Declaration of Independence, how they gave up their lives, their homes, and everything for
fortunes
this.
Fortunes and sacred
everything.
Honor.
He said, you know, nobody realizes what they fought, the tyranny they fought, and they were considered traitors.
Sure. And you look at what happened to all of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Didn't come to a great end. You guys are right. You guys are going to be great patriots. Somewhere you're going to be written up in a book, and they're going to go, Joanne and Jimmy, man, look what happened to them. And we knew them when.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth and I are right behind.
Yeah.
Bob, it's a good thing you don't have a microphone today. No one will know you're here. Oh, oops, I just gave you up. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM. We'll be right back with you.
Sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces sometimes. They don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies. And I've got proof. Oh, yeah. Oh, little we know how much to discover. What chemical forces flow.
And we're back. Jimmy and Joanne Moriarty, foreign correspondents, experts on all things Libya,
that
Egypt,
was the, that was
Syria.
The song between the NATO guys,
yeah,
and the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah. That was chemical warfare.
Jimmy, you having problems over there?
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy's on a short leash. Joanne's got her legs tangled.
Yeah, nope, it's around that.
You
it
know
wasn't
what?
Me.
You can't do this at home.
Was the leg of the
it's
table.
It's not as... Oh, the leg of the table wasn't trapped around your legs?
Nope.
It's a lot different on the phone, isn't it?
He kept kicking my leg. I couldn't figure out why. He thought my leg was on the...
He's like giving you a hint?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't getting it.
I don't get it very often.
What do we have? Two more about a half hour left?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what time it is because we're here on Thursday. People out in the big world. We're here on Thursday afternoon just loitering, which is why it doesn't sound so panicked, you know, and we don't have to speed and run in. Oh, it's Friday? Oh, it's not Thursday. I think we said it was Thursday a couple times.
We did.
You said it was Thursday, and I just like went for it. I was all, yeah, it's Thursday.
It's
yeah,
all
Friday.
All the same to me.
Oh, what the hell? People
that's
like, it's
why your
Sunday,
calendar's
idiots.
All messed up. I know.
See, you really don't have to be anywhere
tonight.
We're
throwing the NSA off.
Hey, so...
oh, my gosh.
What's your future look like, the two of you?
Yeah, what are you guys going to do?
I mean, you're probably not doing any long-term planning.
We don't...
No.
We don't have any opportunities. We have absolutely, you know, our business has been killed, and anybody that wants to do business with us is encouraged to
not
run the other direction.
And what you guys do? Tell people what you used to do.
We were the worldwide exclusive production and marketing agents for some real neat products that rejuvenated oil wells and cleaned up pipelines and sludge pits and diesel spills and oil spills, and had a phenomenal success history. We treated more than 7,000 wells worldwide, averaged increased production 250%, less than 100 failures, and those were broken wells. And we cleaned up pipelines where the biggest oil field service companies in the world couldn't. Diesel spills, we can clean up chicken fat off your kitchen utensils. We can clean up sewer drains better than anybody else. It's just a real expensive product. And we went into Libya because they'd been 38 years without any new technologies, and they had 3.5 million barrels of oil a day production before they were embargoed, and it was down to 1.1 million, so we had a great opportunity there. And we signed the most lucrative contracts anybody could have ever hoped to have.
And who'd you sign them with?
With the National Oil Company, with Waha Oil Company, with oil field service companies, and the government in Libya, you know, they had their own national oil company, and it was, we had lots of contracts, lots of success planned. And we were in Libya 17 times from January 2007 until 2011. We were there never less than 30 days and sometimes 3 months at a time. We got to know the country real well, the people, we really learned how to do business their way, and that our phenomenal success there would have been based on our ability to analyze the market and learn how to do business with them, and they learned how to do business with us. And that was all destroyed, and, you know, we were pretty confident going in because the treaty was just signed in 2006, and gosh, who would ever thought that was a plan to overthrow that country? But it was, unfortunately, and for you all that don't know it,
The reason Libya was blown up was because, first of all, they had Gaddafi had organized the African Bank, and that was the gold-backed currency for the continent of Africa.
A little too much independence for someone's taste.
Well, yeah. That would have destroyed the paper bankers. You know, all these guys are printing money on mm-hmm. toilet paper, and a gold-backed currency for the continent of Africa would have absolutely destroyed all the Rothschild banks, all Federal Reserve, Euroclear, all of them. And then the second,
and they couldn't have that.
Couldn't have that. Second thing, the United States is bound and determined to have a war with China, and they want military control of Africa. They call it AFRICOM. Libya, South Africa, Mali, about half a dozen countries in Africa had said they would never sign up for that. So, of course, the United States wanted to kill Libya for that reason. And then there was a lawsuit that had been brought forward on behalf of all the African countries that took to count all the violations of the treaties that had been broken forever by most of the European countries. And that lawsuit was for $7 trillion, and as the attorney said, it had legs. So the European countries, all their economies were in the toilet. They couldn't afford a $7 trillion obligation to the African country. So the Europeans joined up to get rid of little Libya. And there was only 5.5 million people. And hell, if you killed all of them, that wouldn't be too big a loss. It was acceptable collateral damage. And besides that, they had about $500 billion in the bank. So hell, if they knocked them over, that'd be money that could be split up. And then they had all this oil and gas reserves. That's another positive, you know. So you could really use Libyans' money to kill Libya, and then the bad guys, good guys, could just divide up the spoils. And it was all done under the auspices of protecting the innocent civilians in Libya. And the result was, out of 5.5 million Libyans, half a million of them were killed, 2 million of them are now in exile, and 3 million of them are living in
hell,
in a state of anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
In fear of death or humiliation every minute of the day.
One of our dear friends called the other day, and he said, I'm calling. He said, everything's so terrible here. He said, I have to stay inside. We can't go outside. Maybe at night, we can never go out. Sometimes if we have to go to the doctor, he said, my friend took his wife and baby to the doctor. And while he got out of his car to go pick up something, one of the militias came by, decided they liked his wife, his car, and his baby, and drove off with it.
Oh, geez.
He doesn't even know where it is now. It's like the old West. Our friend who was FIFA coach there, the German FIFA coach, he had to go back and work there for a while. He said it's worse than the old West. He said where you have a town where a gang takes charge, goes into the store, take what they want, kill people, take wives, do anything they want. Just mm-hmm. free reign.
So now that Egypt, because in the first part we were talking about Egypt, and so now that the Egyptians are you know, getting a leg up on these guys, how's it going with Libya? I mean,
The Egyptian tribes and the Libyan tribes, all the tribes work together across mm-hmm. the board. They know each other. And the Egyptian army knows they have to do something about Libya, too. I don't know if they'll go into Libya. I don't know what they're going
to
do.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that, because there's no border control in Libya.
Oh.
Open borders. And the Brotherhood, the Muslim Brotherhood, have all run off to Libya to gain money and arms and stuff to attack from there. So, you know, they will step up. I mean, I'm sure they can't have that either.
Here's something the U.S. people should be fearful of. Since October of 2011, Al-Qaeda has owned the passport office in Libya. And they are issuing new passports only to absolutely radical Islamists. And they provide them with a new name, and they provide them with a Libyan passport. They may be from Algeria or Timbuktu or wherever. But they get a new name, a new passport. They're funded in a U.S. bank to the tune of $4 to $5 million. They receive a permanent green card, multiple entry visas, and they're coming into the United States at the tune of 200 to 300 a month. And this has been going on since October of 2011. Now that scares me to death, and I'm fearless. And I've tried to talk to this point with all the intelligence agencies. And they said, well, what are we supposed to do about it? And I said, well, it would all be real easy. Go back to 2011, and every Libyan that's come in here since October 2011,
look at their bank.
If they've got a bank account with $4 or $5 million in it, then take the B man and waterboard him until he tells you who he's working for. Well, we can't do that. That'd be profiling. So, you know, there's something wrong when these kinds of people, these murders, these guys that chop a guy's head off for fun, rape women, they captured all these young girls in Libya. We saw them. We talked to the fathers. Their daughters had been captured, raped, and then killed, and the breasts cut off, and nasty words written on the street with the breasts of these young girls, enough of them that they could write complete nasty words. And anybody that will do that is inhuman. And for those types to be funded and establishing themselves in communities in the United States and setting up businesses and being homogenized in this environment, mm-hmm, has got to be bad for the people of the United States. And if the people here don't understand that threat and don't do something about it, you know, you've been warned. You better join hands with us and do something about it.
Even the intelligence guys that came in to work with us said, you know, they wanted some documents in Arabic. And I said, do you have translators? Who are your translators? And he said, well, to be honest, a lot of them are Muslim Brotherhood. And I said, seriously? He said, yes. He said, as one of them told us, he said, they are directing policy in this country.
Muslim Brotherhood is directing policy in this country. That came from one of those intelligence officers.
And we're doing that because of?
I don't have a good answer.
There's an elephant in the room. You can connect the dots, mm-hmm, you know. They go up to the top.
Sure. Yeah, so it's not like it's an accident or they sneaked, you know, they sneaked in, you know, when we weren't looking and they tricked us.
Nope.
We kind of know exactly who they are.
Completely infiltrated inside our intelligence agencies.
I've got a question. And this may sound...
Obama.
Well, may sound...
Is that the answer?
It may sound kind of bizarre, but it's out there, but it just doesn't make any sense to me. So you have an administration, and the leader of that administration that I believe is Muslim.
The whole world knows that.
But okay, so
except us,
there's this huge, huge movement to make the gay lifestyle, the transgender lifestyle, commonplace, mainstream, you know, whatever. And I'm not passing judgment. I'm just saying, you know, that's been a huge thing. And he's backed it up. But my understanding is that these extreme radical Muslims can't stand homosexuality.
No, they don't.
So why are they helping bring it to the surface?
We get back to they aren't Muslims. We get back to what Muslims said.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
They're paid murderers. They're not Muslims. They're psychopaths.
So that's why. Okay.
Yeah, it's a face. It's a face for them to spread their...
Okay.
Just because it has the word Muslim in the name, they're not Muslims. That's what Mufta told you earlier today.
Yeah.
They are not Muslims. No Muslims go along with any part of that.
And my reason for asking was that, you know, of all the people that feel like they're safe because they have those lifestyles, are they safe?
Actually not.
Because, I mean, it's almost like let's shine the flashlight.
39 countries in Africa outlaw homosexuality.
And again, I'm not passing judgment, but I just see these people as being sitting ducks.
I mean, they are.
They're being drawn out of the darkness.
Sure.
Where everybody can see them, and then...
You know, the thing about the Muslim Brotherhood and the thing about Obama, they're all working towards one thing, and that's the caliphate. That's what's happening. The leader in Turkey is supposed to be the Khalifa. This is why a lot of these...
And explain what a caliphate is.
Okay, we're going to come back and do that, because that's going to be longer than a 30-second answer, I know. Mm-hmm. Even I know that. I'm like a clairvoyant. I picked the Obama thing, and caliphate's longer than a 30-second answer. I'm on a roll. Okay, that's all I got, though. I'm out.
Takes her a while to warm up, but
eventually
she does.
Thank God the show's almost over. I'm running out of material. All right, we'll be right back with you. 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR, 1460 AM.
No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war, and poverty.
Well, nothing could be more accurate than that. And we're back. So you're going to talk about what the caliphate is.
Well, there's a bunch of Muslims that believe that they're destined to have the world as a Muslim community. And the caliphate is that reality. And the man that would be the head of that caliphate would be called the Khalifa. And the man that thinks today that he is going to be the Khalifa is the head of Turkey.
and he happens to be one of this president's favorite people, and they communicate, we're told, personally all the time, and that the first phone call Obama made when he was elected the first time was to Turkey, and that may be true, we don't know that, but the truth is Turkey is now the military center for NATO, and used to be North Atlantic Treaty Organization, it's now North Atlantic Terror Organization. And, you know, to have any kind of a military base in Turkey doesn't make much sense to me. But when you see all the shipment of weapons and everything from Turkey to the rebels in Syria, and on the 24th of April this year, our Libyans told us about this shipload of weapons of mass destruction that were loaded in Turkey, paid for by al-Zawahiri, who's head of al-Qaeda. And it was a big steamship that was disguised as a fishing vessel, and it was going to be offloaded to the Muslim Brotherhood in the northeast corner of Libya and travel by land through Libya, travel by land through Egypt and underground into Gaza. And these weapons were going to be used to kill a bunch of Jews. And the Libyans told us about that, and they said, you know, we can't stand to see anybody suffer like we did. So the fact that everybody tries to say that Muslims and Jews hate each other, that was proof positive that the Libyans we know, the Muslims that we know, don't feel that way. And this shipload was ultimately captured by
Israelis.
And it was only done because Joanne forced one of the intelligence agencies that we were working with at that time to pass this information on. And the U.S. two intelligence agencies had it here. It was in international waters. They couldn't do anything about it.
That's what they said.
They
said we can't do anything.
And Joanne beat up the guy in San Francisco who was a detective for that department up there and on loan to the FBI Task Force Against Terrorism. And she forced him into calling a friend of his in Israel, and they picked it up. And we called the Libyans afterwards, and they said, yeah, the Muslim Brotherhood guys run around here like a bunch of chickens with their heads cut off. They can't talk.
They can't get the ship to answer.
The phone's dead, you know, and they sent out some small ships trying to find it, and they couldn't find it anyplace. And,
it was reported in the news, but they changed the
flipped
story
it around.
It was weapons being sent to help Syria.
But that came from Turkey. And so the relationship of of al-Qaeda and Muslim Brotherhood and Turkey is absolutely defined in that event. And so for Turkey to be so involved in this and for NATO to organize a military command center in Turkey doesn't make any sense. The other real bad guy in this whole scenario is Qatar. And the biggest military base in the world is in Qatar.
U.S. military.
It's the biggest military base in the world. It's U.S. And Qatar is the size of a popcorn fart. And this military base is about half of that country.
I'm sorry. Can we take a moment to laugh?
That's a good old Texas.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
But,
please continue.
For the U.S. not to know Pop's anything that button. Goes on in Qatar is absolutely asinine. So when the U.S. sends military equipment and everything into Qatar and it ends up in Libya in the hands of the al-Qaeda and the mercenaries, and then it ends up in the hands of Turkey, and it ends up in the hands of the radicals and the jihadists in Syria, how could Qatar not be culpable? And how in the hell could the United States not know about it?
We're talking about Qatar or Qatar.
Yeah.
Everybody always
Q-A-T-A-R.
Asks.
Qatar.
Yeah. That's
I was
going to
actually bring that up because it's mm-hmm. it's on the map. You see it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say it, you think it would be C-U-T-T-E-R.
Yeah.
And people are like, where is that?
Yeah.
No. From now on, think about popcorn fart, and that's the place.
Mm-hmm.
But these things are...
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
You know, these are pieces of information that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to draw the line between those two dots.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, something is terribly wrong. And a caliphate, okay, if they want to do that, you know, the Catholics tried to take over the world more than once, you know, and the Jews want to take over the world.
Nobody can.
And so, you know, I mean, these things, all the wars, all the major wars until these last couple were fought over whose invisible guy was the best.
Okay, now I've got a question. How much does this huge push for amnesty tie into all of this? Or does it?
I don't know.
You know, I think it's more diversion and more confusion. And
you know what it is? I just was like, I was kind of working here while we're doing this because it's like actually still work day and people are calling. But I just got an email from somebody, the dead horse theory. The tribal wisdom of the Plains Indians passed on from generation to generation says that, quote, when you discover that you're riding a dead horse, the best strategy is to dismount.
Mm-hmm.
However, in government, more advanced strategies are often employed, such as buying a stronger whip, changing riders, appointing the committee to study the horse, arranging to visit other countries to see how other cultures ride dead horses, reclassifying the dead horse as living impaired. That was a good one. Hiring outside contractors to ride the dead horse. And then I'll skip to the bottom, promoting the dead horse to a supervisory position.
Yeah.
So I believe that these are the strategies that we are actually... circling, yeah. And that
distractions, destabilization, all of those things.
Yeah, because it's just nutty. I mean, every time you get a linear thought process going on, you're like, why are we doing this? Because that's what people think. That's why they think you're lying. Actually, we might as well cut to the chase here. That's why when you tell regular people, because we kind of forgot, we discussed it off air, but. When you guys came to the Tea Party and discussed this with the folks in Reading, somebody at that meeting called the people or emailed the people in Lincoln and said, hey, when those people come to your meeting, they're not telling the truth because at the end of the day, this whole thing conflicts with their worldview.
That's right.
Just a flat, I mean, it just, it's
believe
like,
me, it
wait a minute.
It conflicted with ours when we first started.
Exactly.
We thought we were in some alternate universe, you know.
Well, just because it conflicts with your worldview doesn't mean it isn't true.
That's right.
That's right.
Imagine the worst or the most bizarre possibilities, and they're probably true.
Sure. And it's not everybody. I mean, if all the people who really still have character and still have moral fiber, if they all stood up on the same day, they'd overwhelm it.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem is a lot of them, I don't know. You know, they feel like they're the only one. They're afraid they're going to get fired and they can't make their mortgage. I mean, hey, I'm here to tell you you can live through that. And Joan and Jimmy have lived through that.
I'm going to tell you all in your audience, Joanne and I were trying to tell our government that our government was wrong-footed in their activities in Libya. And we continued to tell everybody we could, you're wrong-footed. These are bad guys. You know
during
who you're
supporting. During the time supporting? That they were doing it,
during,
not after the fact. During.
Right, during, right. And then all the way until the intelligence agencies. You know, you all are backing the wrong guys. And, you know, we were so stupid because
little
they were
you
playing
know
us.
They is us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were soaking up this information.
We didn't know about the agenda.
And what they were trying to do is find out how much information, how much proof we had of the NATO atrocities.
Yeah. War crimes.
And we're not dangerous to the United States government anywhere in the world because the rest of the world doesn't care. The only thing we could do is we could damage their halo by exposing what was done by our government
and
that's bad
here,
for them.
And except that all the other countries have already figured it out.
No,
they already know.
Yeah, they do.
They just want to keep us in the dark.
Yeah. And they've done a good job of quelling us.
We also have a great respect and love for the Libyan people and their culture, which is endangered at this point. And it's a very rare thing, their culture is. It's an 8,000-year-old culture. And so bringing out the truth... We were hoping this country would say, oh, wait, there's peaceful people here that want to put their borders back, that want to give their people an election, that want to help their people, that don't want to just kill people and torture people to death, and we're going to help clean up their country because it was kind of our fault that happened.
And there, you know? I mean, let's face it, in every country, I don't care where you're talking about, there are bad people.
Of course there are.
I mean, you know, nobody's ever blameless. However, when you're going to go in and bomb people back to the Stone Age, which is unfortunately where a lot of Americans thought they were anyway. No, you know, most people didn't really know what that culture was doing in the first place.
How advanced.
Okay, well,
and so that actually, you know, allowed us all to be misled because we didn't know what they were doing.
Let's take our position. We continue to try to tell the government how our government was wrong-footed. And we continue to do that. We continue to do that. Instead of encouraging us or calling us kooks or whatever, they attacked us. And they have destroyed us. And why? Because, you know, that doesn't make any sense. If
what
it would be much easier,
you know?
Been much easier to say these guys are kooks.
Sure.
But no, they didn't do that. They were mean and vindictive, and they destroyed us, and that's hard for us to accept.
But what Aaron was saying was the Libyans were highly educated. They had a good life.
Mm-hmm. Very prosperous.
The first
few
shows we did, we outlined all these things that you just wouldn't. I remember the very first show, and Jimmy said, okay, what country am I talking about? Laid out all this stuff, and it's like, nobody would have picked Libya.
Mm-mm. Well, mm-hmm. because it was being developed.
Yeah, people wouldn't have known. Mm-mm. So, okay, we have a minute left. So,
LibyanWarTheTruth.com, www.LibyanWarTheTruth.com. Go there. You'll find a bunch of information. We had a guy
we'll
that's
put that on our website.
Webmaster. Lots and lots of information. And, you know, we need your prayers and support. We need as many friends as we can get because we've been destroyed.
And speaking engagements.
Yeah, speaking
you guys
engagements.
Have your card is on there with your phone number and your email.
Yep.
And so WeThePeopleRadio.us has all their information. And you guys travel.
Yeah.
Yep.
We have
now that
to.
You're footloose.
You can donate to us on our website, too.
Oh, yeah, that would help. That would be useful, too. I mean, it's expensive to be a whistleblower. Everybody goes, oh, no, you have protection. No, you don't.
Mm-hmm. From who?
No, you don't.
We're on the limb.
Yeah, the sky falls on you.
Great. Thanks a lot. Well,
kids, it's been lovely spending
thank you for
Friday
having us
with you.
So much.
Friday.
Yes. Thank you, guys.
Okay, and, so the geoengineering watch deal starts in an hour.
Right.
If you're in Reading.
Be there.
We promised we would remind people
yes,
about
and
it.
Yes, we've done a great job.
Yeah, we pat ourselves on the back now.
Tune in next week.
When we talk about something else.
We don't know what yet.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Joanne. Jimmy.
Good night, John Boy.
Ariel.
Thanks, everybody. You're tuned to KCNR, Shasta, Reading.